Welcome to the Urshan Pulpit Podcast, a podcast that seeks to elevate the priority and practice of preaching and purposes to provide resources to both inspire and support the apostolic preacher as they faithfully fulfill their calling as a preacher of God's Word. Welcome to the Urshan Pulpit Podcast. My name is Jonathan McClintock.
I'm Jerry Jones.
And we are here today on our next episode of the Urshan Pulpit Podcast, just to talk about apostolic preaching specifically today. I want to just take a dive and look at maybe the distinguishing marks of apostolic preaching. Is that different than, we say apostolic preaching, is that different than biblical preaching? Does it distinguish itself from other denominations, even the non-denominational world? What sets us apart? I want to look at some of those things today. First of all, just the simple question, I'll throw it your way, Brother Jones. What is apostolic preaching? What makes apostolic preaching unique?
Apostolic preaching, of course, is preaching the apostolic doctrine, particularly the salvation message, the new birth. John 3, Acts 2:38, repentance and baptism in Jesus' name in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the evidence. But it also encompasses the apostolic lifestyle, the apostolic worldview. Apostolic preaching isn't just gospel preaching. It's also preaching that focuses on what it means to be a Spirit-filled, Jesus' name baptized, oneness believer, and how that translates into living life in the 21st century. And I think if we're focused on our distinctives, both of lifestyle and worldview, then that is apostolic preaching. And it is, of course, biblical. That's what we see happening in the New Testament as they took this gospel that they had eyewitnessed, the resurrection, the outpouring of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. They saw all these things, and then they had to connect them with the first century, at least in the beginning, Roman Empire, particularly in the province of Palestine. And then as the gospel forced them out further and further and further, apostolic preaching carried that same fundamental message into whatever world, whatever culture, whatever religion they came in contact with. So we're still seeing it happen today. As the world changes, apostolic preaching adapts to that challenge, not by changing the message, but by addressing the environment in which we find ourselves and translating the apostolic message into that environment.
And I want to talk about, because I think it's interesting to get into some of maybe the unique characteristics, because I know you and I both teach preaching classes at Urshan College, and in those classes we'll break down the message itself into different parts, because there's a lot that goes into creating a message. So thinking, I want to talk about some of the unique characteristics of what makes the apostolic message, the apostolic sermon, let's say, unique. But want to look back, because you alluded to, apostolic preaching is biblical preaching. We preach as the apostolic message. So we take our cue from the apostles in Scripture. I wonder, looking over maybe some of the sermons we can think about through the New Testament, of course, many of them found in the book of Acts. But in the very beginning, of course, John the Baptist was not an apostle, but the Bible says he came preaching repentance and the baptism of repentance. Of course, when Jesus enters the scene, his message is repentance. That theme seems to be carried on throughout the Gospels, a very hallmark of Jesus's teaching. And then when we get into the book of Acts and the very first message that was preached by Peter, one of the first things he said in response to the question, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" was repent. So throughout the New Testament, the book of Acts, we see Peter's message in Acts 2, this idea of repentance and being baptized in the name of Jesus, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see Peter and John standing up in chapter 3 after the lame man's healed and preaching Jesus. Acts 8, what did Philip do when he was connected to the Ethiopian on the chariot? The Bible says, even from the book of Isaiah, Philip preached Jesus.
That's right.
So I think that is taking our cue from the apostles, that the messages we preach should highlight the Savior, Jesus, that his message. And so I think that's important. I just want to look at what your thoughts is, looking through what the apostles preached. How do we line up with that when we look at their preaching in the New Testament?
Well, of course, John the Baptist is the first New Testament preacher. Mm-hmm. He certainly, of course, predated the crucifixion and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But his preaching was an interesting study. He was a harsh preacher in a way. Of course, we only have sound bites, so to speak, but John confronted a backslidden nation, a nation out of touch with God, and a nation who were chosen to be the ones there when the Messiah would appear. And John's overall call was to prepare the way, to bring high places down and lift low places up and prepare the way for the coming. And he did that by very confrontationally preaching repentance. He got them ready for their encounter with Jesus by pointing out their sins, by calling them to a change of life. This is, of course, a hallmark of apostolic preaching. You don't hear that much in Christian preaching other places. It's more designed to address the struggles people have, the problems they face. It's more of a self-help oriented, and while there's nothing wrong with encouraging people, it's a one-note approach. And yet, in the New Testament, it's the whole picture. It's Jesus is here. You can know him, but you must do something in order to come into his presence. And of course, when the Master came, Jesus was a preacher in every sense. He wasn't just a great teacher. That gets emphasized, particularly by those who want to de-emphasize preaching. But Jesus was a preacher, and his first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. An opportunity has come. A new way of life is available, but it begins with a change of heart and a change of direction. And that message continues on. Even though the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ became the gospel, the death always carries repentance. So it's a fundamental part. It prepared its coming, and now it challenges each individual to do that. Apostolic preaching, in many ways, is always confrontational. It's not always harsh and shouldn't be. And it certainly gives room to encourage and strengthen and bring help to people's lives. But it always confronts sin. It always confronts lack of righteousness, because we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we're born again. And we cannot be born again until we've prepared our hearts to be. So apostolic preaching has always been gospel preaching, and it's always been directed at you can find this new life, this new way. And it begins when you repent of your sins. It's biblical, and it's been consistent through the centuries, millennia, actually. And it is a characteristic, I think, that the apostolic preacher has not lost, and I trust we never will. It is unique because it still confronts human failure, sins, and it offers an opportunity if we're willing to seize it. And that's almost unique in Christian preaching today.
And I was thinking as you were talking, and the comment I made a minute ago about Acts 8 with Philip, and how really apostolic preaching and the apostles, especially the first century, they were not content with just allowing people to experience a good feeling,
right?
And not even just be confronted with their sin. That was a beginning, but they were not content with just letting somebody stay at that point, which I think is an important part of apostolic preaching, that it does, as you said, confront, and it pushes people, or pulls people, I don't want to look at it, to experience everything God has for them. Because in Acts 8, when Philip the evangelist goes out and he preaches in Samaria, and they respond to the word, no doubt repented in response, because we have no doubt Philip, as an evangelist and being trained under the apostles, was going to preach the apostolic message. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There was great joy in that city. And I think many people are content with, well, there's great joy, it must mean I'm good, I can stop, I'm fine. And yet when the apostles heard about the revival in Samaria, Peter and John said, there's still more for them. And the apostles sent Peter and John to go so they could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts 8, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost, he had not fallen on them, only they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I think that idea of apostolic preaching, that understanding that it constantly calls people to deeper commitment, deeper consecration, which I think, as you mentioned, how it differs from the main or the outside Christian world.
Right.
I remember growing up in Pentecost in the Apostolic Church, and I forget who it was, but made the statement that coming out of a more mainline Christian church world, that they said there was no, in that church they grew up in, there was never this call to repentance, this call to change, this call to keep seeking more of God. It was kind of, you get to that point, you feel joy, you feel God's good with you, and it's all right. Let's just enjoy it. But I love that apostolic preaching, biblical preaching, continually calls people to more, experience more of God.
Absolutely, and I think it's deliberate that Acts 8 followed by Acts 19, because these were Christian people. That is, they were fellowshipping with the Christian folk. Paul ran into these 12 disciples, but something was lacking. And he said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Mm. Anyone who doesn't understand then that believing is not receiving the Holy Ghost, they're made synonymous in much of Christendom today. Believe, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes in. Didn't happen. And so Paul said, well, there's something wrong. If you've not gotten the Holy Ghost, let's find out why. How were you baptized? And they said, John baptized us. Well, John was the greatest of the prophets. Jesus went out of his way to give accolades to John's ministry. But they needed the Holy Ghost. They needed the full experience of the new birth. And so he told them about the Holy Ghost. Well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. So he talked to them about baptism, and they were baptized, and he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And this is the impetus of apostolic preaching, a full relationship with God, not stopping along the road, not being contented with anything less. And we go so far as to say that full new birth experience is essential to salvation. It's not some go that far and some stop along the road. And this is a hallmark. But again, it goes further. It doesn't stop with just bringing brand new people in. It brings people in that might have had a walk with God for many, many years, but didn't have full truth. It doesn't accept that's where they should stop. It brings them on. And this is the power. And even as we walk with God in our fervor fades and our fire starts to go out. Apostolic preaching confronts that and brings us back to that full fervor of serving God. Preaching is a constant challenge, a constant inspiration, and a constant reminder of what God has done and yet will do for each and every one of us. It's a unique thing that happens, and it's becoming unique in almost all of those aspects in the Christian world.
And of course, we've established, I think it's true that apostolic preaching, preaching as the apostles did, preaching according to how they were trained by Jesus to preach the gospel, preach his message, the message of truth. But we've established that it's the same as biblical preaching. That's biblical preaching.
Right.
But what about, if you look at where we are today, present day, in the apostolic church, the preaching, you travel a lot more than I do, preaching that you hear, the preachers that you hear, the way they preach, the message, of course, I would assume that most of them are true to the biblical message, the apostolic message. How have you seen, or have you seen, any area of present-day apostolic preaching stray in any way from biblical preaching? Has it changed over the years? Have you seen maybe, we could probably point out, in the middle of the 20th century, maybe there was an emphasis on this, and now its emphasis has gone on this, not strayed necessarily from what is biblical truth, per se. But have you seen it change? Have you seen anything that's different? Have you seen a stray at all from anything true biblical preaching?
I'm not sure I would use the word stray, because like you said, when I was a teenager and we came into the church, and then as a young preacher, preaching was different in many ways, because the environment was different. Many churches didn't have PA systems, and so the preacher wasn't eating a microphone while he was preaching, or certainly there weren't lapel mics, and then of course the length of preaching was very different. But that is more of a cultural thing. Political speeches in bygone days were much, much longer than today. Mm-hmm. Took 3 hours to stand there and listen to Lincoln and Douglas debate. Nobody would go to a three-hour speeching presentation today. And apostolic preachers, most of the time an hour would be a short sermon, hour and 10, 15 minutes, hour and a half. I've sat through 2.5-hour sermons. Those were unusual, but they did exist. So in some of the way it's presented, modern technology, PA systems, and things of that nature have changed a bit the way we preach, and people's attention spans and that kind of thing. I think as far as content, there's no that obviously people backslide, and sad to say, preachers sometimes do too, and they seek an easier route, and they'll leave doctrine, they'll leave truth. And that's always regrettable and sad, and you always hate to see that. That has always happened and always will happen. But when we're talking about the preacher preaching the apostolic message, apostolic preaching doctrinally, in my opinion, has not changed. The emphasis on holy living, while some details shift with shifting time, some things become more prevalent, and so the church has to make a decision about how we feel about that. Technology drives that. So, yeah, I mean, you can point to issues, and they're different today. I think there's, in my opinion, only one area that we must be careful to pay attention to, and that is the influence of modern ideas about us, about people and us. One is the postmodern idea, everybody's good. There's no bad in anybody. Well, if we pick that up, which it's easy to pick up a nuance of that and forget that's anti-biblical. And if you preach that, if you preach there's no fallen nature, you preach there's no tendency towards sin, if you preach, as Paul said, there's no good thing in me, then that goes against what our culture tries to put, particularly in young people today. And we have to be careful we don't get influenced, and that subtly changes our message. And then repentance doesn't become it's not as important as it once was. And dealing with sin doesn't really matter. The other cultural aspect is, you mentioned it, people stop at a good feeling. And sometimes I think as preachers, we major on being sure people feel good about themselves and feel good about God and feel good and they leave here encouraged. I get that. That's important. But sometimes they need to leave feeling, I need to do better. I need to get closer. I need to be more faithful. Sometimes we need a little more John the Baptist mixed in along with John the apostle or disciple of love. So I think, and none of these, in my opinion, are major, and they certainly don't mean we've changed our message. But as culture changes, as attention spans change, the growing, almost exploding trend of no Sunday evening services, and I'm not here to make a judgment on that, but that's a trend that we want to be careful of. Somebody said, well, my people quit coming. Well, the old timers wouldn't have given them a choice. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to be in church. So, and then on the other hand, we have to adapt as culture changes and people's lifestyle changes and shift work and second jobs and all the other things that, and the urbanization of America, all these things too demand that we adapt, but we mustn't change the fundamental message of encounter with God and a continually walking with God and growing in the Holy Spirit. Overall, though, I have to say, I believe apostolic preaching is as apostolic as it ever has been. You know, Brother McClintock, there's something I want to ask you. Are there characteristics that we hear in non-apostolic preaching, for lack of a better term, the kind of preaching that's being done in traditional or even non-denominational or the old word charismatic? Is there something there that we could learn from? Is there any aspects that you've heard or seen? I know we pay attention, we teach, and students come and bring up preachers and bring up things, and so we try to stay abreast at some of that. Is there something that we should pay attention to that maybe not doctrinally and not lifestyle, but some aspects of that that might connect to this generation that we could learn from?
I think it's easier for me to look at things we ought to avoid than that we can take from them. I know there's a lot. I've even looked up, they're preparing for classes that I've taught here at Urshan. I've looked up just random church websites, non-apostolic churches, and look in their streaming list, what the sermon titles are, and just kind of see what they're preaching about, what they're covering. And a lot of them, and you've mentioned it a little bit ago, a lot of them are very much focused on the self-help aspect. It's, you know, five ways to have a good marriage or five ways to be financially secure. And I'm sure we can draw principles from Scripture, obviously, to have good marriages and to financially be pleasing to God. But I think in some ways, some of those churches just go overboard on that, and it becomes, they let culture and their congregation determine what they're going to preach more than they do the Word of God. Now, of course, I believe your audience, teach this to students, your audience is of utmost importance when you're crafting a message. You've got to craft it for that audience. But I don't know that we need to let the audience dictate, no, don't preach that, yes, preach this. I think we need to let the Word of God and then tailor that to the ears that are hearing it so they understand and receive the message. If I'm saying some things maybe we could take from them, I think they have maybe made us more aware. Maybe they are more aware too. Of course, we always call some of these churches seeker-sensitive churches. Maybe they've made us, and we've been able to learn. I've myself become more aware of, okay, let's not forget. Let's not make this so, let's not make this message so heavy on theology that I just that I'm over the heads of everybody out there. And I recognize, okay, these are real people sitting out there with real needs, and our culture has put them through the ringer, and they're struggling. And so being a little more compassionate towards people. But I think for me, it's more, there's a lot of things that stand out that I want to make sure I'm not going that direction and make my preaching all about, you know, just about the audience. And I'm making sure I'm staying true to what Scripture teaches. Maybe there's something for you that comes up when...
I think that's an excellent point that you made, that they probably have made us more visitor aware.
Yeah.
Our churches are more connected when people walk in the door. You know, the whole idea of greeters and the broader utilization of ushers, and then welcome sites where first timers are invited to come to meet pastor and that kind of thing. I think we did get some of those ideas from this area. I'm noticing, and I think it probably came out of non-apostolic world, more series preaching in our churches.
True. Yeah.
I think we've maybe realized there's some benefit in that, particularly in teaching, but also in preaching, because when you preach a series, you tend to preach more expository,
right,
which expository preaching has not been an apostolic staple. We generally do what an old friend of mine called thought preaching or topical preaching. That's what we're more comfortable with. And it probably is more effective because it focuses on one idea. So in any given sermon, that's probably the most effective way. But expository preaching has its place too, done right. And I think series preaching has focused us a little more. So maybe that's an idea. And I'm like you, I think most of the things we could learn is not to be so caught up. I have several friends who make a preaching calendar every year. And of course, they don't do that and don't move with the Spirit if there's a change. But basically what they're after is to be sure they preach certain things every year. And much of it is doctrinal, much of it is the gospel. And because it's easy to preach on the marriage and preach on paying your bills, so to speak, and preach on the everyday life of people. And while that's important in the right context, we can't leave out the things that matter. And so I think one thing we learn from them is let's be deliberate. Right. And in our preaching, be sure, while we're led of God for any given service, we also want to be sure that over the course of time, we're preaching the full gospel and preaching what makes us apostolic.
That reminds me, now that you bring that up, because in my doctoral studies, I'm studying at a seminary that is, they call themselves interdenominational. So from all over, I'm in a cohort with wonderful people from all over the world, from Singapore, Hong Kong, Canada, of course, the United States, Malaysia, and of course, different denominations, and have learned so much from them. One of the things I have learned is that they do put an emphasis on, as you said, some calendaring or planning. And one of the reasons they do that is to combat what happens often with us preachers. We're very reactionary. We will preach on that hot idea of the week, whatever's been on our mind. And
yes,
sometimes the Lord does put things on our
Absolutely.
Mind because we need to preach that.
Right.
But if as preachers and as pastors, if we're just left to preach whatever we want to, we're not really planning ahead sometimes, we will continually go back to the same exact thing over and over and over again. I remember I've looked at some of my messages that And I need to just get rid of them that I preached when I was evangelizing, because, oh, I feel sorry for some of those churches I preached at. If any of you are listening, I forgive me if I was in my 20s and preached that. But I recognized there were themes that would continually pop back up. And some of the messages were so very similar, because I was going sometimes just off of feeling or, and again, I don't want to discount, because we have to be sensitive to the Spirit, and maybe in that evangelist role, there were topics that needed to keep being discussed. I went from church to church. But if I'm left to my own thinking as a pastor, I will continually go back to those candy stick things. Whereas planning things out, I've learned from these other preachers that I can make sure I give my church a more well-rounded biblical framework. I can make sure I'm preaching throughout the year. If I plan it ahead, I can make sure I'm preaching from certain books of the Old Testament. Make sure I'm preaching, I'm bringing in some of the epistles that I would maybe I'm preaching from the Psalms, which some people might think, well, preaching from the Psalms would be easy, and sometimes preaching from the Psalms is not so easy because you're preaching from that poetic literature. So making sure, so I think I would agree that I've learned that from non-apostolic pastors and preachers to make sure we're giving the full counsel of God. You can't preach the whole of Scripture in 1 year, but planning it out maybe over a few years, a 2 or 3 year Absolutely. Cycle where you're preaching, make sure I'm preaching from the Torah, make sure I'm preaching from the poetic books, make sure I'm preaching from the prophets, make sure I'm preaching from the Gospels, make sure I'm preaching from the epistles. And I think that is something that we could maybe take to heart.
Well, as apostolics, because our culture is so me-centered, I think it's very important that an apostolic preacher asks himself today, when was the last time I preached a sermon on the oneness of God?
Right.
When is the last time I preached a sermon on the essentiality of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time I preached on Jesus' name baptism? Yeah. When was the last time I preached on holiness? These are apostolic core. Yes. They should be preached consistently and over again. And if we don't make ourselves, there's so many other things. And to be honest, so many other things that need to be preached that we can push out the very fundamental things that make us who we are, particularly the doctrinal things that we look out in a congregation, we see all the needs, we see unchurched people, we see so many needs, and in our mind's eye as we prepare, that's who we prepare for. But sometimes we need to be reminded the whole counsel of God matters. And so we make place through the course of a year or 2 years, whatever our time frame needs to be, that we do reiterate this is what makes us apostolic.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to stop today, thinking about what makes apostolic preaching unique. I hope those listening today may be inspired a little bit to maybe reaffirm, I'm an apostolic preacher. I'm going to preach true biblical apostolic preaching. We have our pulpit conference that comes up every year. This year, March 13, 14, and 15, 2024. And we encourage everybody, all preachers that are listening today, maybe those aspiring, feel a call to preach, maybe you've been preaching or pastoring for a long time, I want you to come and join us at our Urshan Pulpit Conference in March. And we love to see you there. And you're going to hear preaching about some of these things and be inspired to fulfill that call of God on your life as an apostolic preacher.
Hope you'll come and be with us. It's going to be a great time. We always give our Urshan Pulpit Award to an outstanding preacher who has greatly affected the apostolic movement through their preaching. It's always a secret until we do it. So come to the pulpit conference and we'll be making that award. It's always a wonderful time to preach about and hear preaching about preaching.